God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
I think that's
Start
more than
the
enough.
Show! Yeah, there we go.
Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello and happy Independence Day. Whether it be day of, day after, whatever, I hope you had a good barbecue or actually cookout, because as I was reminded on social media recently, just because if you're just doing wieners and burgers on the grill, that's not a barbecue.
No.
That's properly a cookout. Either way, beautiful, in the spirit, patriotic stuff there from the songbird here, Sully.
Yeah.
Good to see you again, Sully. We brought you into Studio 66. You're out from behind the glass, as is Ryan Bartlett, because we have a little special today. We're going to go through events that have happened over the last year or so here on the DDFP. And, of course, July 4th is one of the great American institutions. Is it the best of all holidays? Where does it come down for you, producer Ryan Bartlett?
It's right at the top.
At the top.
It is. It goes, I'd probably say, 4th of July, and then Christmas, and then everything else is after those two.
Really? July 4th? Is that high in the books for you? At least go Memorial Day, because that signifies the start of summer, the end of school. Now July 4th, you're already, like, before you know, like, wait, it's already July? Man, school's going to start sooner than we realize. So too, though, will NFL training camp commence, and that's good news for all of us, everyone within the sound of my voice. Hey, be a dear. Go ahead. Subscribe, download it, comment, rate it, tell your friends, so on and so forth. Get the DDFP, because we have great stuff on the way for you. We have some more Eternal Red Zones coming up sooner rather than later. By the end of the month, it'll be to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame inductions. Not one, not two, but three of the fellows with whom we all work here going into the Hall of Fame. So much to celebrate aside from just the kickoff. Well, I'm already excited about that. The greatest sporting event I ever went to on July 4th was I went to Wrigley Field, 1994, with some of my chums. We always would go out there on the regular on Saturday, sunny June, you know, like when we talked to Big Cat from Barstool. His little pro tip, and it was a hard one to debate. He said, because I always said Saturday in June, when it's 80 and sunny and you're sitting in those bleachers and drinking an old style, you can properly declare, as I often did back then when I was in Chicago, there's actually nowhere on the earth I'd rather be than right here. He said, though, Big Cat said, go Friday, and that's when you're really cheating life. That's, you're already into the weekend, and it's midday. That savvy stuff. I'm not going to refute that. Either way, July 4th, 1994, some chums and I went out to see the Cubs play the Colorado Rockies, and in right field for them, Dante Bichette. Now, you're close enough if you've never been to the friendly confines. When you're in the outfield, they can hear you down there, and they will go back and forth with you because it's good-natured fun, unlike in certain parts of the country where batteries fly from the stands or whatever. You know, the people there, it's a good-natured back and forth. Andy Van Slyke, when he was on the Pirates, he would always give the ball to the fans. He'd throw it up into the stands so long as they would give him a standing ovation, things like that. It was good fun. Ron Darling used to come out from the Betts bullpen on a hot day and hose down the bleachers with some of the gardening equipment there, the grounds crew. But on this day, July 4th, Dante Bichette was out there, and we were having a gay old time, really, you know, a wonderful time. And we sang to Dante Bichette, "You're a Yankee Doodle Dandy," and "You're a Yankee Doodle Dandy." And while the pitch was being delivered from the mound, behind his back, his ungloved hand, he was keeping the tune like a conductor as we sang to him. And then
what a
later,
sport.
It really was, and it was a sunny day. And he had his flip shades on as an outfielder would. And
in the 90s.
We do they not do that anymore?
No, they do. But I'm just saying, like, that's in the 90s. You're doing it.
I always thought I never got to wear those as a little leaguer. The flip shades. I always thought that'd be fun to wear. But I think I would get tripped up by the process of, like, looking up, tracking the ball, and then flipping the shades down. I think I'd lose sight of the ball.
Yeah.
and I don't know if it'd be worth it. That's got to be a skill. You probably don't pick that up in 4 minutes, right?
No, that takes some practice.
I would think so. Mm-hmm. Either way, I think you can probably guess why we had dumb stuff with us and we're behaving stupidly. But we had like kids' plastic sunglasses on or something. I don't know why. And one of us threw them down onto the field, and Dante Bichette took off his flip shades and put those on. And, I mean, he's out in the outfield. There's a Major League Baseball game that counts in the standings and for all of time. For that matter, mm-hmm. He picks them up and puts them on and starts walking around like he's drunk and blind, like, whoa, like he's going to fall down in the outfield. It was just the greatest. And then we were on SportsCenter that night for some reason. Oh, because when we were singing Yankee Doodle Dandy, we had a gigantic flag with us, American flag with us. And so they showed us at the top of SportsCenter.
That's a patriotic crew you had to go on.
Highlight of my life.
What a day.
Yeah. To this day, it's the highlight of my life.
I guess Ferris Bueller you're running for the money at the confines.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. MVP, what's the best thing to eat at a July 4th barbecue?
Probably a cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Boring.
Why is that boring?
No, what's boring are the people who, when they say, everybody want cheese on this? No, give me mine without cheese.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Those are the people that
What are you doing at the cookout if you're not going to cheese your
burger?
They're
just putting ketchup on that thing. That's a five-year-old.
I'm not having that conversation with you. I'm not interested in indulging you or your hero, Chairman Mounty. Matt Money Smith.
Yeah.
The dictator of what's allowed on your wiener. If you want ketchup on your wiener, you put it there. Now,
the
argument is quite different when you talk about pineapple on pizza. But I have neither the time nor interest in indulging your foolishness here, Sully. Although, if you do want to do some July 4th cookout items as they relate to a position group in the NFL, now's the time.
Ooh, that's tough.
What's coleslaw? Who's coleslaw in the NFL?
Do you like coleslaw?
What? I like the vinegar.
You can go both
base.
Ways. You can go both ways. I like it. Some people hate it.
So I don't like the mayonnaise.
Who's a player like that?
You need a polarizing subject in the NFL.
That's a perfect one. Perfect. And don't forget, you also have the vinegar-based one, which is the tastier version. You know what?
Yeah.
How about this? This is a little bit of a reach. The Peyton and Eli Manning combo is the mayonnaise coleslaw versus the vinegar. The mayonnaise is much more popular,
right?
And much more well known and everything else. But given a choice in the clutch,
you're going
give me
Eli.
The vinegar.
Yeah,
right.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad off the
Solid.
Cuff.
Good. Yeah.
What else do they serve at a cookout?
We used to growing up. We used to put a pig in the ground. And that was that
no way.
Yep.
A pig in the ground.
Put a pig in the ground.
Didn't he squeal?
Nope. Nope. Previously slaughtered pig.
Who did that? Who did that part?
That's the butcher. Obviously, that wasn't.
Obviously, how do I know what you're up to? You're out there cooking.
That is true. We are
full
cooking
pigs.
Hog.
How do I know what craziness you're doing?
Go out and get a hog. And
I thought you were going to say your dad did it. You know, the head of the household
No, we went to the butcher, picked up a whole hog.
A whole hog. How heavy is a whole hog?
Pretty heavy, and you could.
How many people does it take to throw it into the back of the car?
We had a good 3 or 4 people go pick it up.
Is it like, I imagine the person who picks it up isn't like driving a Corolla or something
no,
like
truck.
That? Like,
yeah. Prius. Was not a Prius.
But, hey, whole pig going to fit in the trunk of the Miata, or do we need to?
Yeah, I think somebody's got to climb on top of the pig.
I see. So it's a truck. You load this giant.
Load it up. Dig a hole.
Massacred swine into. Okay.
Dig a hole and put it in the hole with some hot coals for all night.
Who digs this hole?
We do. Yeah, I was a part of the.
How deep is the hole to cook a swine?
I don't know, 4 or 5 feet.
Do you put sauce in the hole, or do you do that after?
You stuff the pig with certain whatever you want. Whatever.
Is there more than enough to go around? How many people can eat a swine? How many people can you invite?
There used to be a good 30, 40, 50 people show up at this party. So,
and there's enough swine to go around?
A good bit, yeah.
How many ribs are there on a swine?
I'm not a swine expert.
How many do we people have?
That's a great question.
I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not a people expert either?
No.
Well,
anatomy wasn't my strong suit.
And
what was Sully? I'd be interested to know that.
I was a pretty big history buff. Growing
were you?
Up. Yeah, history
right.
buff.
Fishing.
Well, pretty decent. Yeah, fishing.
We'll put that to the test at a later date.
Yeah.
All right. So what else, Emma VP? You want us to roll some clips here of stuff?
Yeah, we have some best of material from our, you know, special events throughout the year. You know, Rams camp, DDFP 500, pie off, Sheckies, Super Bowl.
Well, and in the meantime, I would like to encourage you, Nate Demand, go back and listen to what we've been doing through the summer so far. Ike Taylor, Colleen Wolf, Maurice Jones-Drew, you and NFL football players asking questions. We're answering them. Go back. You can listen to, you know, the last month and a half's worth. That was great stuff. Been doing Adam Carolla's show if you want to check me out there. Every other Thursday morning episode, you can check me out on that. That's always fun. What else, Emma VP? What else should I promote while I have the people's ear?
Eternal Red Zone? We talked Eternal Red Zone. I think.
Oh, yeah. By the end of the month, we will have Eternal Red Zone. You know, Scott Hansen and Andrew Siciliano's Red Zone. When we do Eternal Red Zone, we treat games of significance, the original broadcast, as though they all kick off simultaneously. Here's a good one coming up for you in honor of those three guys going into the Hall of Fame. The 2017 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Kenny Easley will be in there as well. Jerry Jones. Don't know how many exciting clips of him in the red zone. We'll have Morton Anderson and then Terrell Davis. Oh, and Jason Taylor. When Jason Campbell goes into the Hall of Fame, that is officially when we can close it and start.
He had a pretty good run there at Auburn.
What about that doesn't get you into the Pro Football Hall
of Fame. No, it
doesn't.
It doesn't.
What we do need to get back to, though, is my idea of what was it called? The Hall of All. The Hall of All, right? And this, we should start a whole new Hall of Fame, and because fame isn't the issue, it's greatness. That's what we're evaluating. Mm-hmm. And if you did a Hall of All, who would be? Let's say we've done this before. Do you want me to do this now, MVP?
Nope.
You don't want me to.
Just because we have a whole show of great clips to get to, and then we can save this and we can produce it, and it's going to be great on a future episode.
All right.
Promise.
Sully, who would be?
Okay.
Who would be the football player you'd put in the Hall of All first?
Peyton Manning.
You're out.
Duh.
Bartlett. First football player. Who goes in? Greatest football player of all time. This is the Hall of All.
Tom Brady.
Whoa. That's a pretty that's
if we're talking greatest, I mean, you know, Joe Montana passed by, Walter Payton.
Joe Montana, the quarterback, not Joe Montana.
I think you'd have to put in LT. If you do – and we didn't mention LaDainian Tomlinson also going to be a part of this. And Kurt Warner, too. But I think you got to go LT, got to go Jerry Rice, and maybe Tom Brady too. That leaves only 7 spots left in the initial class of the Hall of All. All right, let's get to it then. Emma VP cracking the whip here on us. Like I say, we're covering events, and one event that's coming up in pro football is the LA Rams going to their second camp in SoCal. So let's get to it. Our interview just about a year ago with the rookie at the time, the golden-haired boy, Jared Goff, with me and Akbar Bajabia Miller.
Dave Demarchand.
How are you, Jared Goff?
Doing well.
How's camp treating you so far?
It's been good. It's been a great learning experience, and every day has gotten a little better.
Have you had to do anything? Have those cameras from Hard Knocks caught you in any compromising situations?
I don't know yet. You
got to wait to see it, right?
Exactly. They probably have. Because they're you really don't notice they're there a lot. So, and sometimes you'll do something, and then you'll look around, there'll be a camera looking at you, and you're like, oh, they got me.
So, like, you know that Los Angeles is clearly the city of stars and cars. Do you feel that celebrity status yet? And who is your famous L.A. friend now?
Ooh.
Go be honest.
I don't feel the celebrity thing really yet. I haven't really been here long enough, I don't think. Famous LA friend.
You could say Todd Gurley.
Sure. I mean, Todd, I really haven't been here long enough to. I'm trying to think. You know, I haven't been here long enough to have somebody on that status yet. I don't know.
Okay.
You got some friends.
Have you gotten, you're a NoCal guy. Have you gotten to take advantage of some of the SoCal treats, the beach, Malibu, fancy restaurants?
Don't forget anything? Beverly
yes.
Hills.
Yes, I have. I went down to LA for a weekend during the month we had off, and hung out with some friends, had a good time, and went out to the beach. So, yeah, absolutely, I love it
and
down
have
here.
Have you gone shopping down Rodeo Drive?
Not Rodeo. I went down to Santa Monica and went, walked around there a little bit, but I haven't gone to Rodeo yet.
Okay, all
I
right.
I need to get a nicer car before
can,
I go down
can
there.
You text me, can you text me once you go shopping and let me know what your final bill is? Yeah, I'll come if you treat.
No, I don't know if I'm into Gucci and Louis and all that.
What do you want to live in L.A.? I mean, I've often thought about this, you know, being here in L.A. There's so many nice places to live. We talked about Beverly Hills, Manhattan Beach, and then, of course, closer to your facility, Calabasas. Are you afraid of L.A. traffic, or do you say, you know what, I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to live on the beach? To heck with traffic.
No, I have a house, and it's up near our facility.
Okay.
So I've moved in there, and I don't particularly like L.A. traffic. So I do try to avoid that as much as possible, and take back roads, whatever it is. Sometimes I'll do the PCH just because I'm like, I'm going to sit in traffic. I might as well get a good view, so I'll just do the PCH.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. He's not going to do the Kobe Bryant. He's not going to do the helicopter.
For convenience's sake, we were at Akbar's house earlier today. It's only a mile from here. If you want to crash at his place in South Central, you can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're boys now.
Post-game?
Yeah, post-game. Right after the game, just come to the house. It's right there. I'm right there in Crenshaw.
Perfect.
All right. Okay. All right.
Goff, let's talk about football for just a second here. How important, you know, everybody knows the whole I'm a San Francisco fan and you have to make amends with Puig and so on and so forth. How important is it to you that the first game, the first regular season game, is up in the Bay Area? Does that matter to you? Do you want that start? Or?
I mean, it does hold a little bit of significance to me because of I'm from there and I'll probably have 100, 200, 300 people there that I know. But you know, really, I just want to win the game, whatever it may be. You want to go up there, and they're an in-conference rival, and we want to beat them and want to win the game and start off 1-0.
And then I'd have to say this. I mean, you look at your wide receivers. You look at the running back that you have behind you. Are you comfortable now in this offense? I know training camp, you guys are just right in the thick of it. Are you comfortable now?
Yeah, I think so. I think more comfortable than I was. I was feeling more comfortable through OTAs and through the summer, and then once I got into training camp, felt more comfortable, and then you know, this was our sixth practice, I think, and it's become every day, it seems like, exponentially more comfortable. And from that, gains confidence, you play better and all that. So it's been good up to this point.
Can you impress me real quick?
Sure.
Give me your most verbose play call right now.
Oh,
give
I don't
me
the know if I can do it. I can't do that on TV.
You can't do it on
TV?
Coach,
I got
it. Give me one from college.
I got a long one we did today that we ran down the goal line where I threw the touchdown in the corner.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. But it's long. Is
it's
it long
16
enough?
Words. I counted it.
16 words.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a theory that NFL teams do that just to show off. I don't think that all those
It was one mean. That we kind of just had to memorize, yeah.
Are you committed to memory?
Yeah.
All right. I want to hear that one.
Yeah.
Last thing for you is I keep mentioning it because I have two eyes, and you're the golden boy. You're a handsome devil. Do you think you can compete in the looks department with Tom Brady?
Oh, man. You know, I think I'm going to focus on trying to play up to his level eventually and then let you guys make that decision about off the field.
We'll let the chips fall where they may. All right.
Yes.
And who's winning the Pac-12 this year?
Cal Bears. Who else?
There you go.
You didn't ask him the Olympic question. If you're an Olympic athlete, opening ceremony, what event would you compete in?
Ooh. What event would I be good in?
You would want to compete
in? Javelin.
Would I want?
Don't feed him that. Let him say
I could say javelin, but that's like an easy one. I would like to compete in like male volleyball would be fun.
He looks like a male volleyballer. I like that.
Those guys look like that fun.
Yeah. I'd like to see you up on the high dive. That'd be fun too. Hey, Jared Goff, good health to you and great success to you. Welcome to L.A. Anything
Thank you
need, including a bed to sleep on,
right here.
Akbar's your guy.
Thank you, guys.
Jared Goff, everybody. All right, now this was a moment of significance, not just for football fans, but for anyone who enjoys life, someone who lives life, doesn't just survive it. Everyone remembers where they were when the Dave Dameshek football program celebrated its 500th episode. Take a listen to a little song created by Emma VP and the one-man house band, Dick Banks. Our 500th show, the 500th Dave Dameshek football program. What a thing. I don't think I've ever done anything 500 times in my life. You know,
people said you couldn't do it.
No, indeed. Including you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You thought I'd
I was
be fired
right
like
that list.
320-ish shows. Right. All right. Start the show. Yeah. Wow.
Holy hell.
What is this?
Hello, and welcome to the Dave Damashek Football.
Available on iTunes.
Oh. Excuse me.
Let it play. Let it play, man. Just let that thing ride, man. 500 is a lot, man.
500.
500. I know. Quite a thing. Quite a thing. What a thing. Thanks to Dick Banks, the one-man house man, Emma VP, Bartlett behind the glass.
That's a lot.
And the whole gang. What a nice
thing. That's a good accomplishment, man. Congratulations. Let's get 500 more.
Yeah, the great and departing Matt Gothard. We're sad that he's leaving us very soon.
He's moving up in the world.
Yeah, I know. We're happy, though. He's going over to join our pal Simmons at the Ringer, so good for him. But thanks to everybody for that.
That's awesome.
Quite a thing. 500 shows. Like you say, handsome. They said we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But we've done
it. No one outside this room believed in us.
No, indeed. No, indeed.
Dave.
All right. Now, here's some nice memories. Black tie. Some nice memories with former producer Black Tie before MVP fired him. It was really – I was a coup. Remember
it had
that, Bartlett?
To be done, though, right? Yeah.
Remember, Bartlett, when you and Emma VP colluded and you had Black Tie shown the door?
Good times,
it was what was best for the company and the show.
Oh, dear, Barbara.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, whatever you guys want to do, if you guys think that's smart, I don't know. I like Black Tie, but you're like, it has to be this way, Dave. And I'm like, all right, do what you see fit to do. Anyway, let's take a listen to some of the guests on the DDFP 500 helping us celebrate along with Black Tie. Yes, Emma VP.
So, Shaq, before we move on, we actually reached out to a few of our favorite guests on the show, so they have a few messages for you.
Ooh, holy hell. Nice. Awesome.
Terrence Newman with the Minnesota Vikings. Dave, I heard you on your 500th episode. Appreciate you letting me be on it, man, and congratulations.
Damn, Shaq. AJ Hawk here.
That's tight.
Haven't been on the show in a while, but I wanted to say congrats on 500 episodes. That's awesome, man.
That's
I know you've been doing it for a long time. I'm sure your mom is very proud. Sitting on the banks of the Ohio River, probably drinking in Iron City. Cheers into your first 499 episodes. So congrats, and I can't wait to get back on there soon.
Yeah, we asked a bunch of guys, but those two are the only ones who got back.
That's fitting. Fair enough. Hawk doing stuff now down in Atlanta.
Yeah.
T-New doing stuff. We appreciate those guys. Yeah, I want to get – those are the two. Emma VP, that's who we've talked about. We got to get them on our digital wall of fame here. Hawk's jersey. Well, his number's already retired.
T-New,
we
got
to get
T-New.
And I'm thinking also we have to give some real consideration to Calais Campbell. I mean, he took Football Baby to the Dolphin Stadium a couple of weeks ago, and he's always been a good pal to us, too. That he could be a Hall of Famer as well. But, let's get to – I want to show these off. Look at this. Ike and Handsome are wearing them. If you're listening, they have sunglasses that say 500 DDFP
so
on
good.
Them. How did you
get
nice,
aren't they?
Fresh.
How did this happen, MVP?
Fresh.
We spent a little time in the past few weeks.
I know, but you spent more than time. We got T-shirts.
Right.
Yeah,
say
look at
DDFP,
this. Got a logo
DDFP.
Made.
Yeah, that's what I'm rocking.
Look at that. It's not even a T-shirt. It's got full sleeves, Dave. They went all out.
Ike and Handsome, you guys, you guys should sign these. And
did you give me the right size?
We should give them away. That's awesome.
What do
you got? You got an XL.
I wear a large, Emma.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it kind of fit.
Next time.
I'm positive.
Next time, 1,000.
But I'm a rock.
But 1,000, you can have one that fits.
That's a good game. Let's try and engage that right now.
What's up?
500 seemed improbable, if not impossible. But
how
here we are.
How many years you been doing this? Here, the DDFP show.
I think five.
4 or 5 years, yeah, something
five
like
years.
That.
That's impressive.
About
I think
five
it
years.
Started like spring 2011.
It was after our first season. Of course, we started
that's
with
impressive,
the great
Shay.
Adam Rank, and Rank and I are still doing Fantasy and Friends with Maurice Jones-Drew and Dylan Milner, a.k.a. Necktie, was the original producer of that all those years ago. And here we are now with the great Emma VP and Bartlett and Gothard and the rest of the gang. But – will there be a 1,000, Handsome?
Yeah, definitely.
You think so? You think we'll get to 1,000?
I think you'll get to 1,000. I mean, you may get to 2 or 10.
Really?
I think so.
Mike, what's your guess?
Let's try to get this 1,000.
Let's get to 1,000.
Yeah. We're gonna take it 500 shows at a time.
This time, though, shame the – it's got to have 2-4 involved or shame the devil.
If you get to 1,000, like in a 1,000-yard rusher, you have to buy us all Segways or something.
Okay.
Or watch.
I like that.
No, you get to 1,000.
Segways.
You get to 1,000. The pay grade got to go all the way up.
Right.
That's fair.
That's
yeah,
true.
We got to go.
So
go
great.
Up.
So another 5 years.
So you mean we get paid for doing this? When yeah. we get to 1,000, we get paid for doing.
No, really. After this, season,
mm-hmm.
something got to change. We're gonna talk. we're gonna talk.
That's a wrap on the show, MVP. What do we do? A surprise guest.
What?
We have a surprise guest.
You are
all
kidding.
Right. They got a lot going on. Today.
Here's our surprise guest.
Wow.
Be funny if I didn't
recognize.
What is
it? It's Russell Wilson.
I know who that is by the helmet.
Oh, look at that.
It's Black Tie.
Black Tie.
Producer.
What is it? It's not Black Tie.
By far and away has produced the most shows here at DDFP. What's the poop, Black Tie? How are you, man?
500th episode, man. That's big shout out to you guys. You know me, I love the shout outs, but number 500 is big time. So I figured I'll try to sneak in the club and get into the show today.
Very nice. Maybe you should do a shout out. I think it would be fitting for you to do a shout out to yourself because that's what you like to do. You call out the underappreciated,
yeah, the underappreciated
in the world.
The underdogs.
Yeah, like a shout out to me for putting up with Sheck for more than anybody else.
Nah, I did my last shout out on my last show, and I retired the shout outs after that.
I okay. see. Sorry. I see. Hey. How's it going up in the Bay there, Black Tie?
Bay is pretty cool. I'm more a little bit north of the city, out in North Bay, but I'm having a good time here with the good folks at 2K Games. NBA season gets started today, so that's going to be fun. Just before this, I went out there and put in a little bit of work by myself, getting ready for that Ike rematch.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you found anyone to actually play basketball against yet? Because I know you like to play basketball, but normally, like every time I've seen it, you're playing just by yourself.
Yeah, and that was the same case today. It's going to be on my Instagram a little bit. But, one of these days to get some games in. But it's fun being out there.
Tell us, so you have some remembrances you wanted to share?
Oh, no, for sure. I have some really great memories about the show. Some of it audio, a lot of it audio. Actually, I'll go over that first. There was that one random episode. For some reason, we're talking about magical names, and Hank brought up his nephew Merlin, and for some reason that line just stuck out to me. I said, "Hey, I have a cousin named Merlin, but he's not magical at all," and I just thought that was hilarious. Really good episode. other really pretty good bits. This show gave me the opportunity to do shout outs in the first place, like we alluded to already. That was always fun. The movie event, which we did, that was great. And then speaking of movies, a lot of times I was a producer of the show. There were a handful of times where I was just a fan of the show, and one of them definitely is when we had Aaron Paul Super Bowl a couple of years ago, DDFP Super
cool.
Bowl. We had Hugh Jackman, Aaron Paul. We had the cast of Draft Day. And you and Shaq and Aaron Paul just doing the Titanic scene. It was fantastic. Those guys.
I was really funny that day.
You were good.
As that fan, I was really good being a fan in a moment right there, just watching it. So that was pretty good. And then speaking of, we just talked about the Warriors like 3 years ago, actually. Funny enough, this show's had some of the biggest names. We have Russell Wilson on. We've had J.J. Watt with Adam Rank doing a Adam Rank Gridiron podcast for kids. And then we also had Steph Curry before he blew up on DDFP as well, Lake Tahoe. Again, it's one of the moments I was able to just be a fan. And Shaq held up a cup for him, as you can see, with Steph showing off his range with a golf ball. So that was exciting. That was kind of like the first peek of what Steph was about to become. So shout out to Shaq on that one. And Shaq also made the shot, although I think Steph helped him out here.
I was sweaty, too.
You are sweaty. Yeah. You're glistening.
Oh, yeah. But really I was also very funny that day, too.
It was really hot out there. And then, as again, we mentioned, I was not able to take down Ike in hoops. But Shaq, you were.
Right.
Off-season trainer on one of the fun videos we did during the off-season.
Cut like a turkey.
Ike was still in the league. Ike was still in shape. And
still is in shape.
Ike's more worried about how he looks with his shirt off. And in the meantime, the pot-bellied Jew came in and took his dignity. And
that's right. Shaq
you were
took
probably
him
70 pounds lighter than Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you was.
It was a better
look. Well, you looked as slim and good right there.
Yeah, you did.
Well, anyway.
Dave Demichelis.
All right, so since it is round about July 4th, maybe it is in fact July 4th or it's close enough, you probably had some nice dessert, be it ice cream or cake or pie. Of course, you know there's another big holiday here in these United States called Thanksgiving. We mark that occasion annually. We did it for the fifth time. Pie Off 5, the DDFP Pie Off, all the staff here at the NFL brings in their best. And I don't know what these choices are here, what the clips are, but I can tell you, make sure you are subscribed in time for November so that you can hear the Pie Off 6, so long as Mark Brady the boss man allows us to do it. You know, he's got a grease. Oh, he's behind the glass. He gave us a thumbs up. Pie off six is on.
Nice.
Now he's making, with his hands, he's making an asterisk sign, like as long as you don't get fired before. And now he's making another sign. Even if you are fired, we're going to keep doing it in your memory. Okay, I guess that's cool. So let's hear a little pie off here, shall we? It was Hanzus. It was Mark Sessler, Black Tie, Handsome Hank, and Adam Rank. The price of admission, as always, remains your pie. But you don't bring a pie, you don't get to eat no
what's
pie.
The asterisk next to my name? What's that
we're
about?
We're getting through
we'll
it.
Get
the,
to that.
The judges, Dave Damashek and only Dave Damashek. It's a committee of one. Previous champions, like we say, Handsome Hank, Hanzus, not once but twice, and then Tara Deeker. Now, Hanzus times two, there is an asterisk there. I am going to go behind the glass for an explanation of that because, frankly, I don't have the answer here. Although I do imagine it has something to do with, as you mentioned, Hanzus Corp. Now, you are the figurehead of this company, but really the ones who do the toil are Mama Bates and her daughter, Emily.
Absolutely. And that's nothing I've ever tried to hide from the committee. I've been very upfront about that. It's always been in the guidelines that you don't have to bake the pie. So I farmed it out to a talented Texas-based operation that I then merged into my own corp. And that's and there's nothing to be ashamed of there.
No.
There should
what?
Be.
Okay.
A little.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
A little.
Eager necktie, please. Let me just say this. The rule of the pie off is bring a pie, taste the pie. That's the rule.
That is the rule.
Those are the rules. I mean, listen.
Hence Deeker's two pies. There's one rule.
If Hanzus sees fit to run his operation by bringing in ringers, that's his business.
You do you.
Don't worry about what anyone else
is
up to.
Well, first of all, let me go back to when he was introducing me as the rightful champion.
Put the microphone in front of your mouth.
What a throw. She's choking already.
I know.
I have a face for nothing.
All right. She's flustered.
You had to interrupt.
You look beautiful today, Deeker.
Oh, thank you. Your hair looks amazing.
Thank you.
So salt and peppery.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, you had to interrupt him introducing me as last year's champion. Because you can't even take hearing me knowing that I physically baked my own pies. That graphic that they put up just now shouldn't have your name. It should say Emily Bates.
Okay.
And Ann Bates.
Okay. Are you done yet?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
That's all I need to say.
I got my trophies at home. I'm cool.
Okay.
I sleep.
All right.
Yes, and as always, in year five of the pie off, the prize, not just great honor and admiration and full bellies of among colleagues and beyond. It's the Peisman Trophy.
The Peisman Trophy.
Wow.
I have a question for Mama Bates, but
goosebumps.
First, let's one more time take a look back at the past champions here of the pie off. There they are. It started off with Handsome Hank. There he is holding his his treacle tart.
Why do you look like an angel? What is this?
Because he is an angel.
Hanzus, not once but twice, and then there's
when you go back to back, you get that.
Now, Mama Bates, my question for you is this: Let's dig in just for a second here. And try and suss this out. Were you not a part of the Hanzus Corp, would you maybe speak out against that the figurehead is actually delivering pie from someone behind the scenes, or would you be cool with that?
I think I would be cool with that. A true good leader surrounds themselves with good people.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're only as good as the people that are with you.
Yeah.
And Anne's the best.
He's Joe Torre, and Hanzus is Joe Torre, and Mama Bates is Derek Jeter.
Okay, well, this isn't the St. Louis Cardinals. You go to any—
That was a Yankees.
I understand, but I don't reference any baseball team besides the St. Louis Cardinals. You go to
the myopic view that may come back to bite you.
Well, you go to any baking competition, no way would they let someone— else submit a pie.
Well, we have another
put their name on it.
There's one rule: bring a pie.
Bring a pie.
We have.
And you broke that rule. You brought two pies.
Yeah, we're not even getting. We haven't gotten into
there's
that yet.
There's one rule: bring a pie. You brought two pies.
It's audacious.
It's because
controversy number two.
I love to bake.
The reigning
guilty.
The reigning champ Tara Deeker has brought not one but two. Let's go around the table here right now, and Iztok is there behind the glass as well.
Oh, Mark.
Mark Iztok. Look at that guy.
Let's figure this one out. Hello. Is it cool to bring two pies? There is not in the rule book anything that says you're not allowed to bring two pies, but then again.
Or allowing a mother-in-law to come fly from Texas to
I don't want
make
to be one of these stodgy organizations that can't adapt on the fly.
If I were married and had a mother-in-law, I'd fly her out from
Texas,
too.
I'm going to render a verdict right now. One pie and one pie only.
Oh, Dave.
You know
once
what?
Again, that's not proves true. Himself.
That's not right.
That is the first rule adaptation in 5 years of pie off.
Let Marcus took first answer.
Last year I brought two pies, and this year I did consider it for a moment, and I thought, you know what? It's trying too hard.
Ooh.
So I'm not saying that that's what's happening for you. I'm saying that's how I felt about it.
Jack, can I just say something?
Looks good on you, though.
Can I just say something? Deeker, you know I love you. We get along very well.
He does talk very
yeah.
loudly.
Okay. But I'll just say it. Mm-hmm. You should be ashamed of yourself for bringing two pies.
Here we go. The first bite of pie off is a delicious bite. It's a complicated flavoring. It's rich. It's delicious. I can taste that beer ever so slightly without it overwhelming. That was a mistake that Handsome Hank made in Pie Off 2. He went lemon, but he went too much lemon. And that
too much lemon.
Derailed him. Not this time.
We made the same mistake in Pie Off 4. Mm-hmm. Mantis Corp.
That's right. Yeah. Really, the lesson is no lemon. Dave, you know, Dave,
no fruit?
Oh, that's delicious. Necktie.
Did you get the Gruyere cheese on top? Kind of nutty?
Oh, I'm just going to.
Bake?
That's what that is.
That's what that is, yeah.
Try it. All right. Oh, that's right out of the gate. I hate to get crazy.
Still
get
warm. Crazy. Still coming in hot, Dave.
I love that. Here. Mama Bates, I don't think you want to eat off my plate, but I want you to try some of this.
And I
think you'll.
Now, most shepherd pies do not come with a crust. I decided to go with the crust in honor of the pie off spirit. It's kind of a pot pie shepherd's pie.
I appreciate that. All right, now, Deeker, what are you offering?
First of all, you look so handsome yet once again.
Oh, how desperate.
And, well, I mean, she's not wrong, but all right. But that there's it's all – I can always make time for that.
Dignity on short supply in Deeker's camp.
And so this year I decided to make Beat the Deek Pie.
What is it?
I've named it Beat the Deek Pie.
All right. Did you clean your palate, by the way, Dave? It's a very important thing to do.
You're right. You're right, especially as we transition from a savory.
Here, just use mine.
You have water.
There you go.
Water.
Thank you. Oh, see? Oh, never do people rush to help Dave out.
Use my water.
No, take my water. Here we go. Beat deep pie.
I don't know if you got enough crust on that.
I got a lot of pie to eat, Deeker.
What do you taste in that besides?
What is that like molasses-y kind of taste?
Love.
Caramel?
Some Deeper? Type of a fungus?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Houston, we have a problem.
No. Au contraire. It's divine.
Mm-hmm.
What is that kind of... Why does it have that rich kind of flavor to it? I love it.
It's called butter.
Is that what it is?
Condescending, huh? To the committee of one.
It's called a lot of butter.
Interesting move.
Mind your tone.
And I just want you to taste my second pie.
I won't do it. I've already rejected it, and I don't know who you think you are.
All right. And can you set up
Mama Bates? Ooh,
in detail, what are we putting down in front of Mr. Damashek right now?
It's a traditional Thanksgiving. This is Thanksgiving pie, right?
Yes.
Not a pot pie or meat pie.
Or a beat the deek pie.
This is what follows turkey and dressing.
This is then a pecan pie.
Pecan.
Pecan. Yes, I agree with you.
The pecans are from our lake house.
Oh.
Here we go.
Hand-shelled.
Okay.
Cracked by Papa Bates.
Papa Bates was a contributor to Hand Juice Corp's offering.
Oh, we have many layers.
Many layers.
My pecans came from Ralph's.
When you taste the topping, you'll get a oh-so little flavor of some Texas...
Am I ready to go?
Texas.
Should I dig in?
Yeah. Go for it.
That's a little Texas bourbon.
Number three. Pie off.
I did use bourbon vanilla extract.
This is Texas bourbon that's...
And don't forget about the...
In a little town.
The chocolate.
On your own distillery. On the Hanzo's distillery. No. On the Bates distillery.
The Bates, no.
And
Hanzo's just... See, that's why he's the CEO, because he threw in the keen reminder.
Because, running through there. Yeah, Deeker, we're presenting right now. Where is what's going on with the chocolate flavoring?
He can interrupt my introduction, but God forbid I jump
in. You'll find a nice, crisp, dark chocolate.
I love. You know what I like is dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like? I like pecan pie.
Mm-hmm. It's a marriage.
I like you.
Made in dessert heaven.
Round of applause for all the pie makers. I would like for all who made their pie themselves or had one of their lieges do it, please take a special bow to the Matt Harmons of the world, to the Cole Wrights of the world, the Marcus Durants. Delicious offerings all, and all stunning surprises. I did not see the deliciousness coming that was delivered to me. Patrick Claybon, look at him, hands on hips. You too, fella. I could go down the list. Dick is a cow. Alex Wilk, Wilk Pie, you all should be proud of yourselves. Mama Hanses, banner work as always. You are a staple in the pie. Necktie Milner, you may not have ever won an award in the first four pie-offs, but you are a champion in my stomach. And now, to announce the winner of Pie Off Dive, help by my lovely assistant, Ryan Martin. Third place goes to a delicious, delicious, rich chocolate pie by Mark Easton. Any thoughts?
I would like to thank the courageous pieces of chocolate that gave their lives for that pie. Dark chocolate, milk chocolate, bittersweet chocolate. You will be remembered.
Wonderful work, Mark Easton. This is a lovely affair. It brings our colleagues together. It proves it doesn't matter what pie you eat. It's who you eat that pie with. And it does eventually turn into a tough spot where I stand alone and I have to award only one championship, only one prize and trophy. This year's runner-up in the pile is Necktie Milner. Congratulations.
The streak continues. This is the Bills losing to the Cowboys. I have another Super Bowl to lose ahead of me. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and making pies. And thanks to you, Dave.
He embodies all the best of the pile.
That's right. Thank you.
Now scram.
The person who should come forward and collect Pie Off Fives Heisman Trophy, the Hanses Corporation, the Dynasty, Mama Bates, Devastation for Tanahika.
Okay, I'm happy for the baby, the new baby, but I'm not happy with the fact that these two hands just lost to a ringer entry for the third time in this pie history.
I didn't care for the campaigning throughout the pile.
I don't care. My pies were delicious, and everybody here knows it.
That's true. Emma VP voted for it, and I forgot to shout you out, Emma VP, and delicious. You know my feelings on fruit pies, but you took a real run at it with that blueberry crisp, and I admire the gumption.
I really appreciate it. That's all I can ask for.
Let's get to the, please, Deeker, please. Let's talk to the winners here. Here they are, two members, the CEO of Hanses Corp.
Get up here, Bob.
Yeah, get everybody. He shelled those pecans. It's a family affair. It's a family of winners. Congratulations to the youngest member of the Hanses family. He's never not known winning. Let's start with you, Mama Bates. How does it feel?
It's incredible. I'm so glad I got to be here with all of y'all. I just feel like I've made new friends today. I love you, Deeker.
I'm glad that you feel that, but in fact, you've done the exact opposite. They are now all bitter enemies of yours.
I love them anyway, from deep in the heart of Texas.
What went into shelling those pecans?
We got a little sheller. We did it by hand, you know, one pecan at a time. And
then you get the little picker, and you pick out all that membrane. You don't want that in your pie, because that doesn't taste good.
Do you feel bad for Necktie Milner, a runner-up for the third time in the pie-off?
Mr. Scott Norwood? No, just kidding. Dylan is a great competitor, and someone's got to lose these things, and it stinks that it's usually Dylan. But I really love the shepherd pie. It was my pie that I enjoyed the most, but this is a big win for the corporation. It's about the corporation right now.
I mean, 3 out of 5 years, I think it's fair to call this a dynasty. I also, you know, Necktie Milner, you're not human if your heart doesn't go out to him. But I'd like to think that his contribution is that he's really brought out the best in Hanzoos Corp, Deeker, and beyond.
Can I Ann wants to make an announcement, if you don't mind.
If it's that you're pregnant, then...
Oh, God!
Oh, jeez.
Deeker, I'm retiring. I've had 3 good wins, and I just need to send it on.
Let us remember this as the Ann Bates legacy pie.
I like that. I mean, that's a great place to end. Congratulations on a tremendous body of work. You have set the bar for all future pie-offs. 3 titles in 5 years. Hold it up. The Piesman Trophy, everybody. Nothing more glorious in sport than this.
That's Dave Damashek.
Next up, you know, we mark the end of each year with the Shecky Awards. As we say, the Oscars cover the movies, the Grammys cover music. We take care of all the rest, fruit of the year, alphabet, letter of the year, so on and so forth. Here's a listen back to last year's, at the midway point of this year, a listen back to some of last year's winners. Here they are, the Shecky Awards.
All right, this is a big one, and it's the most uncomfortable one, the award each year. That's why, as someone...
Already?
Well,
you're going to do this already to me?
Yeah, well, I'm not
just
man
like you
enough
did last
to,
year?
I can't look my colleagues in the face and tell them you didn't win, the other person did win.
You did that to him last year.
Yeah. No, I did.
That's exactly what happened.
But it wasn't my choice. It was,
yes, it was.
I see.
No, last year it was your choice.
It was.
As a matter of fact, it was your choice last year.
I don't...
No, it was.
No?
It was your choice.
You can say it,
yes,
but...
but it's yours.
Never mind.
It's always your choice.
Emma VP, you were here for the Shecky Awards in 2015, weren't you?
I was not. I was fired before that.
Listen, no man.
You fired her. Fired.
Well
like,
done,
this
Emma.
Is awkward.
Well
two
done,
people.
Yes.
Now listen, though, Emma VP, didn't you review the film? We didn't.
I did watch the film.
Right. It's a fan vote. Always.
No,
it's not this
not
year.
Not last year. Not last year. It was not.
It is always a fan vote.
I refuse
I will
to
have
believe
to double
it.
Check.
I refuse to believe
I'll
it.
I'll check my sources.
That hurts your feelings even worse.
Sure does.
Some potbelly Jew taking somebody else over you, that's one thing. But when just gaggles
everyone.
Of faceless people right. are voting against you, that's got to hurt, Mike.
I'm going to go that there was tampering. Tampering by the man whose name adorns the trophy right. or face or body. Or well, that's definitely not your body. It might be your face. But
I want to make clear before we give this one away. Now, we have the best non-football playing guest. That is from the pseudo-celebrity realm. Now, not Matt Money Smith surely is that, to be fair. But I'm talking about the people with whom we work.
Yes.
Right. The in-house guest. This is the one that's voted on by the people. So let's get to it. Citizens of the Czech Republic, here it is. Your 2016 Choice Award nominees.
The nominees for the Czech Republic's Choice Award, Matt Money Smith.
How can you tell the difference between snowmen and snowwomen? I look down at the young man and I say, how can you tell the difference between snowmen and snowwomen? And he goes with this wry smile, snowballs.
Cynthia Freeland.
You're doing like 12 plus 16, and then you accidentally type in 17, and you could push... clear, but it still has the 12 plus. And then the CE, that goes way back to the start.
This could really have helped me back in 1982.
I have to say.
The Fantasy Hipsters.
The Lions losing the Texans. They got Eric Ebron back. They got Theo Riddick back. And they couldn't do anything. The Texans are like one of the most boring offenses in the league.
I'm going Matt Ryan. I think he's having his Fair. Best season. He has the most touchdown passes, the most yards, the highest passer rating in the NFL.
And Patrick Claibon.
I'm not saying this is the gold star. I'm saying this could be Thermopylae. You know, we could.
Oh, yeah. We're the hot gates of Thermopylae. How about that
reference? We're outnumbered.
Claibon does it again. Handsome, how come you never bring up Thermopylae?
I don't know what it is.
Really?
The hot
the
gates.
Main reason.
Come on.
What are the hot gates of Thermopylae?
300.
The
300
hot gates
the
of Thermopylae.
Sparta, defending our freedoms. Western civilization.
Freedom.
Yes, right. Xerxes. He's like 9 feet tall and painted gold.
Come on, Hank. It's world history.
We also, because I've gotten some tweets about this. Again, this is the fan voted on, and I got some tweets from people saying, where are all the around the NFL heroes? And I said, well, how can I choose one from those four? We've had them all this year.
That's the
best.
Who's
the best?
Who would you have dinner with? Of those four, if you had to have
dinner? Not even that. I don't even want that. Which one's the best?
Choose the best.
The best one.
I mean, you know, that's why I have the fans vote on it. MVP, no. What's the answer?
No, don't the best. Don't bring her into this. This is
the Shecky Award.
This is not the Emmas.
To pull the curtain back.
Not even who's the best. Rank them.
No. Even better.
The curtain back.
Rank them.
What's number one?
We're not moving on to the next bit until we rank the around the NFL heroes.
I don't like to
this is brutal.
Interact with those guys
right.
when it's not
Come
on the show.
Well, do it on appearance.
You can only get one. Just
do
one.
Do it on appearance, then. If you don't like to interact with them,
that's a different order altogether.
Appearance.
I did at the holiday party a week or two ago. I was told by a female colleague that Greg Rosenthal, she described him unironically as, I like him because he's the strong, silent type.
I didn't say small, silent type.
Okay. All right. I guess I could see that.
Most handsome is Dan Hanzus. I've said that before. Yeah, if I had them baby blues hair. And that head of hair, great I'd hair. Be a senator. Yeah.
But that's not the question.
That wasn't the question.
Come on, let's get to it. I see what you're doing. You're delaying. I want my damn award, Shaq.
Like Mark Sessler. Mark Sessler's a 21st century Jack Kerouac.
Right.
But you know what? If that's right, then Chris Wessling is a 21st century Charles Bukowski.
Ah, I like that.
I think he might be the Neil Cassidy, actually.
Oh.
Hey,
Thermopylae!
Which I know that you got the fans to vote on this, but you obviously also voted within your
Yeah, you must
within,
have voted
you
on your own
must
poll.
Have voted I, on that. So who did you vote for?
Patrick Claibon. He's a delight. He's the arm takesman.
Yeah,
you know?
I like, that's who I voted
good
for.
What Claibon does.
That's who you voted for as well.
What Claibon does is.
Screw you, Hank.
Claibon's cagey because what he does is he lets everybody weigh in on some hot ticket item in the sports world or beyond. Everybody gives their opinions on Twitter or otherwise. He doesn't jump in, he waits it out. He reviews everybody else's opinions and then gives opinions on those opinions. Yeah. I like that.
Yep.
Next level.
All right, come on.
All right, let's get to it.
Let's get to it. Fan vote. Stop me now. You could last year, but not this year.
The 2016 Shecky Award, as voted on by the citizens
He's gonna
of the
screw
Czech
me again.
Republic.
I know it. He's going to screw me again. That said money last year, and he came up with Marcus Grant.
It's Matt Money Smith.
Yeah!
That is so exciting.
You're listening to David Damashek.
Let's get to it. The granddaddy where the Shecky Awards started out way back when Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, Fancy Pants, Hollywood Glitterati, condemning me. How dare you tell us that apple is the best fruit, whatever that. Oh, they spent once an entire wedding reception berating me in front of people for saying apple was the best fruit. This was way back at the
right.
You know, before the turn of the century and everything. But anyway.
The turn of the century.
It's a controversial one. It's a controversial one, fruit of the year every year. Let's hear from some NFL football players. Oh, these are the nominees. I'm sorry. Here we go. Fruit of the year.
The nominees for best fruit are Honeycrisp apple.
Mmm.
Red seedless grape. Oh. Strawberry. And watermelon.
All right, now let's hear from NFL football players.
My pick for fruit of the year is definitely an orange. An orange, they're always juicy. I feel like they're always kind of on point. Different times of the year, you can have different types of oranges. And I don't eat fruit very often, but if I do have a fruit, I go to an orange. Always satisfying.
Hi, I'm Calais Campbell, and my pick for best fruit of the year is the avocado. And just because, who doesn't like avocados?
Fruit of the year, it's always a tomato. I mean, you can put it on anything, a burger, a salad, but it's truly a fruit.
My choice for fruit of the year, green apples. That's it, that's all.
Green apples?
Green apples.
I like Calais Campbell.
I bet that's
the
only fruit that Maurice has ever eaten. I just feel like that would be his thing. Like, I don't like fruit. I don't trust it.
Where did Calais Campbell come from in the mix all of a sudden? That was great.
Also, Heath Evans, educational there, the tomato.
A lot of people may not know about Calais Campbell's the avocado. By the way, Calais Campbell already noteworthy stuff from him because the newest addition to my gaggle of children that I've spread across the Los Angeles area.
Named Calais.
No, but when she came out, she looked exactly like Calais Campbell.
She did a lot.
Look. And I tweeted it to him, and he agreed. He called her a handsome baby, which I appreciated. All right, let's get to it now. The fruit. Before I say it, 2016 has been a terrible year in a lot of ways. There have been a lot of celebrity passing.
Terrible.
I didn't care for some of the stuff that happened in the U.S. of A. I'm sure you didn't care for some of the stuff that happened over in your Brexity part of the Big Blue Marble. And fruit also suffered. You know, fruit's been riding high. I've been singing songs about fruit for about 5 years now, about how delicious it is. 2016 rested on its laurels, you know?
It really did. I tell you who disappointed me was the white peach.
Mm-hmm.
A nominee normally.
Yep.
And this year, white peaches came out, and frankly, they put very little effort in. A little bit like the white peach, the Carolina Panthers. They just were like, okay, cool, we did it. All we have to do is show up, and well, I'm sorry, no. That's not how it works.
That's right. And I completely, you didn't hear the name White Peach just as a nominee,
right.
a dramatic fall, but I think it deserved it, and it's time for the peach to take a long look at the fruit in the mirror and decide what you want to be.
Maybe that will be the kick it needs in its actual own peach.
And I don't want to bring down the proceedings any further, but I'm retiring this fruit here and now as the worst of all fruits, the pomegranate. Who does this pomegranate think it's in? I don't like the grapefruit because it's lazy, but that's on the namer of it, not the fruit itself. But the guy at the factory, at the fruit name and factory one day, like, hey, here's a big orange thing. It looks like an orange, but it's bigger and fatter. What should we call it? A grapefruit.
I don't know.
Well, you know, we already have a fruit called a grape, and it's real little, you understand.
But we'll just put fruit after it.
But it's a grapefruit.
I just want to knock off. I just want to go home.
So, you know, it's like it's 4:58 and it's Friday. Can I leave? All right, that grapefruit it is. That's an outrage. But pomegranate, who is this fruit thinking it is with its tough skin? You have to have a serrated knife just to get into it. Then once you're inside, then it's all that white, like cardboard. And then to peel out one little seed that makes your teeth feel all chalky.
It feels like
garbage.
The type of fruit that like, and you would say like animals should eat that, and they would probably love it. And you know, like a giraffe would just like all day, a giraffe would roam around the prairie or whatever looking for more pomegranates to eat. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There are some fruits like that that we wouldn't dare touch. Why did someone decide, actually, no, let's try and make that one for us? It's not for us. Just leave it for the animals.
And then somebody's trying to force it on us now with the pomegranate juice and all that. No,
fruit.
Thank you.
No,
keep
it.
Let's try and be a better fruit. Can we, everybody, in 2017? In the meantime, the 2016 Fruit of the Year. Here we go. It's the red seedless grape. They combined. I want to pull back the curtain. I had some qualms about this, moral or ethical or whatever you would call it. I think it is interesting that the grape is, should it deserve more points or fewer points, Handsome, in your esteemed opinion, that it was crisp. It was sweet. It was delicious all year long. And a bad year for fruit overall was very good. And shout out, watermelon did some good stuff. Yeah. Honeycrisp was good.
I like how the watermelon's coming in different sizes now as well.
Well, that's the thing with the grape. The thing with the seedless grape, it's the sum of, you know, it's by itself. Like, hey, what kind of fruit do you want? Do you want an apple or do you want a grape? Like you would take the apple if you're hungry, because the grape by itself won't do anything for you.
That doesn't matter.
But maybe it's a lesson going forward into 2017. Together, we all are more. And lastly, let's wrap it up with the signature event in pro football, Super Bowl. Last year in Houston, Texas, a wonderful time, a great city. I was surprised by how nice it was, and not how nice it was, but how international it was. That was not my expectation. Xavier Rhodes showed up. Me, Ike, Cynthia Freeland, Maurice Jones-Drew were sitting there. Here came by in purple, number 29, Xavier Rhodes. We kibitzed with him, and by the end of it, we had all fallen very much in love. Take a listen.
Xavier Rhodes, yeah. I loved it. I met Xavier the other day, and he was positively delightful.
That's
positively
a big
delightful.
That is. That's a big.
I like him a great deal. I really do. Yeah. I like his swagger.
I said
you know?
A lot of nice things about him on Game Day morning. I'm pretty sure he saw them before the game.
All right. Look, Xavier Rhodes walking in. Good to see you again, pal. No, we met yesterday, yeah.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Xavier Rhodes. I don't know what to do. You know what? I'll lean over. I'll be a gentleman.
I can.
No, you four just talk.
Go ahead. What are we talking about? Football. We're talking football. So, Zay, you had an unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
You had a. Can you get that for me, Jonesy? Had an unbelievable year. Went to the Pro Bowl. So basically, you went back home because you started off with Coach Tom Shaw.
Yes, I did.
Go back to the Pro Bowl.
Yes, I did.
In Orlando with Coach Tom Shaw. Tell me about your season, man. Like, what transformed you from last year to this year and just becoming a professional and knowing playing that cornerback position, man? You got to do it week in and week out.
Actually, man, it started off in the offseason, man. I mean, gaining that mentality as just having an offseason as an in-season as an offseason, you know, because in the offseason, you got to put in the time and the effort to work on the little things you need to work on from the previous season before. And that was my whole mindset, was to do that. In the end season, you ain't really doing much. It's, you know, getting prepared for the game. You know, so that's the whole thing. That was the whole thinking process. That would change my whole season. That would change my whole mentality and how the season, my season went from this year. And also my eating habits, my sleeping habits and everything. I just changed my whole regimen, and it just went from there.
That's what I did, too.
I was going to say, we talked to Terrence Newman on a DDFP show early in the year. And he said, you know, you guys kind of bonded throughout this season.
Yes.
And, I mean, he said you took leaps and jumps. How was that for you?
Oh, man. It was, first of all, Terrence Newman is for a guy to be doing, what, 14 years?
Yeah, that's a long time. We came in together.
Yeah. Oh.
We came in 03. We came in the 03 draft together.
Oh, you showing your age right now.
Yeah.
You don't look it.
Don't look it at all.
No. Nope.
Man, but Terrence Newman is right, man. You know, being on the defense with the guys is not selfish. We come together as a team, as a defense, and we do a lot of things together. You know, we bowl together, eat together, talk together, group chat. Everything is
together.
Just together. You know what I'm saying? We know each other's weakness. We know each other's strength. I mean, I can tell you one thing. It could be a certain coverage or a certain down the distance. Terrence Newman would literally be on the other side of me yelling at me. Like, Zay, back up. I'm like, bro, like, don't you think you need to worry about the man in front of you right now? But he knows, like, in certain things, he know what I might end up doing. And for that, that's just coming from being around each other, talking, you know, gaining that bond, that chemistry.
That's that instinct. When we played in Pittsburgh, we kind of had that instinct. We did everything together. It's just eye contact. Like, when you're around a person for so long, you don't even have to talk anymore. So me and Troy, we just looked at each other. He knew what I was thinking. I knew what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Same way with you and Terrence Newman, man. That's a good bond.
That's a great bond. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, man, just it was awesome playing with those guys. Not only with Terrence, you know, me and Harrison and Sadeo, we all click. We all bond. Like, no matter what, I look back. In certain plays, you'll probably see me on the field and Harrison will be calling me. And I look back, he'll be like, this is the call, Zay. I know you didn't get the call. So, I mean, it's just that bond, that chemistry we had on that field. And it was just unbelievable. And it showed. And it showed that whole entire season. Our defense played as one heartbeat. And it was a good thing to see.
Nice.
How'd it go? Let me grab this real quick. How'd it go? What was the take on, first of all, the bad news, hopefully not, it doesn't prove to be true, but it's looking like Teddy B's not going to make it for 2017. First of all, that's got to be a bummer, but also talk about Sam Bradford a little bit and your confidence in him going into 2017.
Which one you want me to start with? The Sam one?
Talk about Teddy B. Teddy, that's a real bummer
gloves,
to hear
two
that
gloves.
News.
Man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about his injury. I was there for the injury when it happened. But for what I know, I know as much as you know, you know. I mean, as you know, and I as you know, like, they're not going to tell the players much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to keep it a secret because they don't want it to get out to the media. So I don't know much about that. You know, I'm new as that, and I ain't been there lately. And in Minnesota, I'm going back. And all I can tell you is Teddy is happy. Man, the man always
good.
Always have a
good
smile.
Spirit.
Good spirit.
You can tell.
Great spirit, you know. Always happy, finding new things to do to get his mind off, you know, the injury. And then I love that about him. That what brought us together, actually, as a team. When that happened, we was down, and Teddy come to the facility every day telling us not to worry about him. He's going to be all right, you know. And he's smiling, laughing, you know. Like, wow, Teddy, like, how can you go through something like that and still be smiling and laughing and joking around, being himself? And he's like, bro, it's just football. And it happens, you know, and I'll be all right. And I'll come back stronger than ever. So I was like, wow, that's a good, great attitude.
You and Odell Beckham, man. How was that, man? That, look, let me tell you something. That was exciting to watch because there was two dogs going at it.
Yeah.
That's what it was to me. I didn't see it as anything else. I saw you competing, him competing, but it was a great match. We were breaking it down multiple times.
Yeah.
I mean, you were all over him. It was crazy. How was that?
It was actually, yeah, like you say, it was two guys competing with each other that love the game, have passion for the game. And actually, you know, I didn't feel like it was much, no beef or anything. It was just us trying to win.
Right.
Trying to get the best of each other. You know, you get one, I get one. You know what I'm saying? Who going to come out on top? That was the whole ordeal. And after the game, we spoke. You know what I'm saying? It was after the
all
game.
Love.
Made true. Yeah, all love. Exactly what it was.
Maurice and Ike are answering questions about the game of life. Do you have any dating questions, you know, gift-giving ideas? I mean, he's like, these guys are fountains of information.
Oh, okay. I have a gift-giving. What you, a best gift to give a woman?
On what's the situation? Is it a long-term relationship? Is it,
just
have y'all
period.
Y'all just dating?
Dating, basically.
Dating?
Oh, that's
man.
Nice. That's a good one.
Honestly, that's a good one. Honestly, you're a killer with this one. Write a note.
Oh, I was about to say.
I'm just about to say that.
write it, handwritten. Don't type it up.
Yeah. Handwritten.
No text.
Write it.
No text.
Uh-huh.
No
write
text.
It. You write a note. You put that thing in the envelope.
Hey, you do like dinner. Do the little kid stuff where you cut the heart out.
No.
That works.
Okay.
Man,
wait,
the heart and you write the note.
Okay, there you go.
I feel like you should, like, if you've taken her to a movie or you've, like, done something together, I think, like, with your handwritten note, just include the movie stuff. You don't have to cut anything. But, you know, just be like, this was so much fun. Let's go see another movie.
Yeah.
Simple, easy, no text.
What about this? I was told by this sounds about a wise guy, Terrence Newman. He said, get a dozen roses.
Oh, yeah. He tried to get
you
over there.
Get a dozen roses, all red. Get one white and put it in the middle and say, hey, I'm giving you this. This you in the middle. You stand out above them all.
Peonies. Go with peonies. They're
man,
way better.
Hey, that note, man, a handwritten note means you show time and effort and put thought into it. So
yeah, I know.
Go with a little short and tell T New stop it.
He tried to take it all the way there.
No question.
Dave Demarchais.
And that's that. What do you think, fellas? Was that a fun show? Bartlett, Sully, give it a letter grade.
A.
A.
Yeah. All day. I mean, it's the greatest hits from the last few months, so it's
got
to be an A.
And you got mic time. That's never a bad idea, Sully.
That's what made
that's
me
too nice.
I had an A, but when Sully got mic time, it went to an A-.
It fell a little bit.
Okay.
Fair.
That's
fair.
That's
MVP, your grade?
Oh, I'm going to go with a B+.
If somebody made it to the end of this show and is listening right now, I give that person an A.
Right.
And they are
A
now
plus.
In contention for the Shecky Award this year for best listener of the podcast,
like
if you made it all the way to the end of this one. Thank you very much. Good stuff, MVP. And we'll be back with another installment of our conversation with Brian Baumgartner talking about all or nothing, the LA Rams 2017, and a whole bunch of other pro football and game of life related business too. We'll talk to you then. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.